Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Nick here on ESPN 97.5. What's going on, boys?
I was just listening to The Swamp, 97.5 The Swamp.
I heard The Swamp.
Yeah, I forgot. I told Nick, when do we do? I don't even remember this. He's like, it's been playing for a while, and I remember, oh, wait, that was like last week. Literally was last week we did that.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, right. And already it's out there.
And already it feels like. Did we do that in 2018? Oh, last week? Okay. Yeah. Pandemic.
Yeah. Pandemic.
Yeah, it's
Thank
pandemic.
We're in a yeah, well, good. What'd you do yesterday?
I did a podcast with Eric Layden, and we had Lance McCullers on.
Oh, God.
And Lance, like he usually does, didn't really hold back a lot. And now he caught himself a few times, but at one point he goes, look, don't dance around it. We can talk about 2017. And we didn't spend a ton of time on 17, but he talked about it. He said, look, there were trash cans. It was unfortunate. I wish it wouldn't have happened, blah, blah, blah. He just talked about trying to move on. Yeah, I have to get it from Eric, but because Eric Layden has it. But it was, as a matter of fact, I'll see if we can get Eric on today in a 10 o'clock hour maybe, his 8 or maybe in a 9. I don't know. I got to see when he can do it to talk a little bit about that because – he was, you know, Lance talked about the MMA podcast. He talked about growing up a huge Tracy McGrady fan. He said basketball is his first love by far. Loves baseball, but basketball is like, if he were 6'5", he'd be trying to do that somewhere. You know, he's not in a big rush to take a bat. He's with the rest of the players, not in a big rush to take what they consider to be a new deal, a bad deal, to come back and play a sport where they've got all the risks, but none of the, but they're being asked not to take, you know, to share the financial risk, but no one's sharing the risk of health that they are. And, you know, he made a fairly compelling case on some of what he was talking about. He has a real big problem with Tom Glavine speaking out, Frank Thomas. He said, you know, these are guys sitting in their houses in the Hampton who've earned over $200 million in their career. A lot of us are on our first contracts, club control. He started talking about, I'll tell you what was interesting, John. You and I both kind of know this and are in the background. I just don't think a lot of people talk about this or think about this. He said, I always explain it to people this way. And Eric said the same thing. People think you're an actor. You live in L.A. You're just raking it in. He said, this is how it works. McCullers said, let's say I made $100,000. That was my fee. Let's say it's $100,000 is what I made in a year, is my salary. He said, first off, I'm going to get hit with a higher tax bracket. Then I've got agency fees. I've got fees for doctors or whatever his fees are. Because Eric Layden has agency fees. Eric said, you know, Eric's an actor. He said, I've got agency fees. I've got a publicist fee. And then I've got like a SAG for the Screen Actors Guild, he's got that fee. Then he said, then you've got then I've got to pay for flights, about 40 flights a year for my family or wife to come watch me play. He said, I have to get hotel rooms. We don't get them for free. I have to get hotel rooms. I have to get rental cars, whatever the case may be, just so my wife or just so my parents can come because I'm the one picking up the tab on that, including tickets when they have to, if they ever have to buy tickets to road games or whatever the case may be. And Eric Layden is in Los Angeles, so his tax rate is insane. Eric says he brings in about 38 cents to the dollar that he makes is what his final amount. Like, he knows what his amount is. His is about 38 cents to the dollar of what he makes. He only makes 38% of what his income is. Lance McCullers is down in that neighborhood too after expenses are even lower. He said, look, I'm not saying it's not. He said, I'm very thankful and grateful for the money. He said, there's no question. But he said, I'm not raking it in by any stretch. And he said, there's a lot of guys and a lot of teams that are not. And our whole, you know, the whole thing is the longer you play, the better your opportunity is to set yourself up and your family up for retirement, because you have shorter, you know, obviously a shorter career earning window than most people have, a substantially shorter career earning window in that particular field, your field of expertise. And he just talked about the fact that he's just really disappointed that major league players who have gone through, and I pointed out, you know, there are also some of the same guys who are involved in a lot of work stoppages and strikes and things like that so that they could get the best deals possible. He said it's a little disappointing to have A-Rod, he said, with his billionaire wife and, you know, the $400 million he's made or whatever, and Tom Glavine, and they're sitting here talking about the money that we should take or shouldn't take. He said, I just don't understand why they would be speaking on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can certainly see that. Now, all Frank Thomas said, though, was it's a bad look.
Yeah, he addressed that.
And it shouldn't be public.
I agree with, but how do you not make it public?
But because there's too many voices and there's too many snitches. There's just way too many snitches that'll tell the media everything that's going on or whatever. But it really and too many guys talking. Here's the deal: and here's Lance McCullers is saying this on a podcast that everybody is listening to. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's just another.
Well, we'll see if everyone's
another side of it. So. You know, I mean, I agree with Frank Thomas. It's a bad look. It's a bad look for both sides. It's a bad look for baseball.
Oh, there's no question it's a bad look for baseball, and it's a bad look because it's public. But, you know, that's because of social media and the big platform that it is, things don't get worked out through a SportsCenter segment or through an article or whatever. They get worked out thousands of times on a daily basis through a variety of people. I mean, it's and players have the instant megaphone to go out there and say stuff, and it can spark the flame. And so, yeah, I mean, look, he even said, I get tagged 700 times a day through Twitter and Instagram from people calling me a cheater and this, that, and the other. And it's a daily thing where he has to sift through all. And he said, I'm not blocking them all. Because that's what they want. They have a list of people who have blocked them. He said, I'm just not going to block them. I'm not going to. I'll mute them or whatever. But he just talked about every single day. You in any Instagram post, he's got to sift through and take out, either leave them or take out the, you're a cheater. Like, people will follow him just so they know when he posts so they can tell him he's a cheater and the Astros are cheaters. And he said, it's a daily thing. It, every day, he said it never stops. Every single day.
You know what? Like I said, it's just it never is. It's not going to leave this team. It's not. No. I don't know. It's just not.
There's
it's
a special kind of.
What did he think about the LeBron doc?
You know what? I wanted to bring that up, and I don't think I wanted to bring it up, and we ended up moving to another one. So, and we had him for about an hour. I didn't get to talk about that. I don't know if he would have spoke on that since that's another player's issue, but I did talk about, he did make a comment about, you know, other teams at one point, other teams doing it, and I tried to re-bring it back up because I could sense that he wanted to put the Yankees or somebody on blast, but he kind of sidestepped it the second time around because you could tell he's like, because Lance has got a fiery side where he's not afraid to come out and start shooting some bullets. Now he looks like Garrett Cole. He's got like a little trimmed up beard. He's got the long hair. You know, he usually has his hair real tight.
Oh no, he's always
stylish. Now he's got Garrett Cole hair.
What?
Yeah. Oh, he's got Garrett Cole hair now.
Well, so let's grab some sound from that for later.
I'll see if Eric can send some out to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Well, I saw a dead body yesterday.
Did you watch a movie or did you see a dead body
in person?
Hold on.
Dude, I don't know if you saw anybody who was on 59 South yesterday. Everybody saw a dead body because they shut down 59.
When was this?
It was around between Hillcroft and Bissonnette.
That's near my hood.
In Bel Air. Yeah, right there. Right there on 59, they shut it down. There were police lined up all the way across, and they made everybody leave the highway. And they had the body under this white tarp just sitting there, and all these cops are there, and there's a body right underneath that tarp in the middle of the freeway. I don't know if it was a pedestrian. I don't know. There was no apparent accident. There were no cars that were, but the body was just on the street. And maybe I got there later, and there was an accident before that. I don't know what happened, but it was like, oh, my goodness, look at that. And so it was, if 59 was a mess for most of the, I would imagine, it was right around noon. And so it was different.
I'm looking on your wife's website to see if I can find anything.
I noticed the police blocking off, like forcing everybody off 59, but I didn't know that was the reason. I noticed everybody like being forced off 59 and exiting.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you didn't. Were you on the highway, Nick?
I was going north, so I didn't.
Oh, you were going north.
Yeah, so I didn't.
Yeah, probably that. Over the median there, you couldn't see the body laying on the highway. But the cops are all they were lined up all the way across. Half the police force was out there. It looked like. I don't know what happened. If anybody knows what happened, tweet us.
I'm trying to find it. I do know that we broke records yesterday with the hottest day we've ever had.
It was hot.
Heat index of 100.
I will tell you this, being a golfer and being out there almost every day, this was the windiest spring ever. And yesterday, there was
no wind.
And it was stifling.
It was a blanket. It was a heat blanket yesterday.
Yes.
It was brutal. And I was just like, man, if coronavirus doesn't like hot weather, it's getting the piss kicked out of it today. It's getting kicked in the nuts.
No. There's nothing that
and
can
survive. And it's coronavirus nuts.
There's
Bang!
No virus can survive. Zero.
Humans can survive. It's May. I don't want to have to deal with 100-degree heat index in May.
What? Cold weather idiot.
No, I like nice weather idiot. How about that? You like sweltering, like, I wish we could go to Arizona where it's 119 in December.
Yeah, yeah.
Why does Wendy's website always have the volume up?
To Arizona.
Okay.
And then I came to Houston as soon as I could. That's it.
Why are we doing this on the Channel 13 website where I have to have this? But Thursday's record high looks safe, yet highs will still top out in the low 90s with a heat index near 100. That's today. A week, so... We're going to be low 90s, so we're not going to break any records. But good news is, kids, the heat index will still get up to 100. A weak disturbance tracking through could spark a stray shower Thursday morning. Friday's weather looks similar. Expect rain chances will be a touch higher during the afternoon, and the heat ridge responsible for this early preview of summer weather is retreating. It will get replaced by upper-level low over Memorial Day. So that's good. So we'll bring back a healthy chance for showers and thunderstorms. We're expecting widely scattered downpours for Memorial Day and rain-cooled highs in the mid-80s. So that's better.
Well, thank you, meteorologist Lance.
Yeah, that's
right. Now let's go to commercial break, and we'll be back with sports.
I got traffic and sports coming up next. We're going to have traffic and sports here on 97.5 Information Hub 97.5.
Every 10 minutes.
On
traffic
the 10s,
and weather.
On the 10s. Traffic, weather, and sports. Although there's not a lot of sports, are there, Greg? Shut up, Carol. My industry is getting ravaged by layoffs and furloughs.
Shut up, Carol, and go to break.
There's not much traffic either, right, Bria? I barely have a job. Please stop. And I invested heavily in oil.
So I invested heavily in weed. What an idiot.
Most people are doing well, I thought. I don't know how yours didn't do well.
Mine didn't do well at all. 714 ESPN 97.
Hey, I want to tell you about Blackland Distillery. So we're giving out Blackland Distillery to our guests on the podcast. And Lance McCullers is like, I'll take a bourbon. Thank you very much. I had a bourbon cocktail, so I made my penicillin cocktail, which I love so much. I took the scotch out and I added bourbon instead. So what I did was I went 2 ounces bourbon, 3/4 ounce lemon, 3/4 ounce ginger syrup. I added a little egg white to it, gave it a real strong, sturdy shake, and you get a frothy, delicious cocktail. You pour a little peated scotch on it like Talisker or Lafroy, and you're in business. You're welcome. I just gave you the penicillin recipe only with bourbon, and it goes down great with my friends over at Blackland Distillery, a super smooth bourbon with it's unbelievable. It's got a delicious blend of a smokiness of a tobacco on the back end, and it's got the creamy vanilla on the front end. And they're getting in more and more liquor stores in the Houston area. If you can't find it in yours, make sure you keep asking, or you can always call ahead. Now, I can give you a couple. They've got a location in the Goody Goody on Highway 6. They've got Liquor Source, PG Liquors, and Tomball. League City's got it at Ace Liquor. But the big one is at downtown. They've got Blackland Distillery at Spec. So make sure you get down there and check out the distinctly original flavors of Blackland Distillery and all four of their spirits.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John, what do you... I need to get you a Blackland Distillery a bottle. What do you... Like, what's your spirit if you're drink, if you're not drinking Coors Light? Vodka, gin, bourbon, or rye?
I'm a Crown and Water guy.
So you're a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael Kelly, Doug Stamper, we had him on too. Yeah. We recorded. We're going to drop it all at the same time, three episodes. But he was really great. He just point blank just said, I hate Tom Brady. I hate Bill Belichick. I hate the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm. He said, of course he's from Atlanta.
Hate them. Yeah, he's from Atlanta. But he had... I was asking him one time.
And he only had one altercation with him.
Yeah, he had one altercation where he almost had to start throwing hands at the end. And he said, we were winning at the time, but I knew we were going to lose. He said, as an Atlanta fan, the very first play of the second half, and after the first series, I said, apparently Atlanta fan's a lot like Houston fan. He immediately knew something was wrong. He's like, oh, this is not good.
That's
this
terrible.
Is not that good. He said, I turned to my brother and said, we're going to lose for sure. I just thought, man, that sounds familiar. Atlanta fan. You know, I think the Texans are the Braves of the 90s. Remember when the Braves won 14 straight division titles? I feel like Bill O'Brien is on that same trajectory. We're going to win 14 straight.
Yeah. I don't think even
feels
close.
Good. Feels good.
No, yeah, I don't think it's
mini
even
dynasty.
Close.
Probably only one
winning,
championship
winning
like
a
the Braves.
Baseball division means something. You're only beating three other teams in a football.
Excuse me? Winning football division means even more.
No. Wait a minute. No. They had Glavin and Smoltz and are you kidding me? And it's not even close, the two teams. That's a horrible comparison.
I know. I was just
the Braves.
Having fun.
And the Braves went on to win a title.
Who are the Astros most like? I mean, not the Astros. Who are the Texans most like right now? Who are they most like? The 91 through 93 Bulls. The 95 through 98 Bulls. The Atlanta Braves 14-year dynasty of winning division titles. The Patriots years of division titles with Tom Brady. Or the Minnesota Vikings from last year.
Yeah, by being
E.
F. Whatever it was.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're most like
trying to get a sense.
I don't know. I just don't get the feeling. Have you ever had the feeling, wow, this team, yep, going to win the championship this year. Yep. Good. Yep. I feel like this is the year.
About who? The Astros? The Texans?
About the Texans.
Well, so the only time was potentially 12. 11 and 12. 11, to me, was their best team. 12, they got off to their best start. They beat the Chicago Bears in either a Thursday night or Monday night game where they were the two best teams, or they were the two undefeated teams. But then you could sense that something wasn't quite – like their rush wasn't as good. Their defense wasn't as good. The 11 team, I think, could have been a Super Bowl team. Like, they were giving it to the Ravens at Baltimore. They were just running it down their throats. And that's even with Jacoby Jones. Is it Jacoby Jones?
Yeah.
Jacoby Jones screwing up and having T.J. Yates through. It took his third interception to seal the game for the Baltimore Ravens because the Texans were driving down. They used to crack people's skulls with their running game. But out of 18 years, only two out of, 17 years of football, the only 2 years I felt really good about this team were 11 and 12. Like, really good. Like, hey, my team might be better than your team for sure. That's only two times in 17 years. That doesn't feel great.
No. And the 12 team, by the way, I mean, yeah, they started 12 and 2 and just looked all, and Matt Schaub just fell apart. That was the start of pick six, of Schaub's pick six run. And he just was terrible.
Oh, that's right. No. Was that 12 or 13?
That was 12 and then 13.
13 was the start of it, yeah.
Well, his finish to 12 was, well, he did at New England.
No, you could audibly hear him scream in terror when people were chasing him, and he flung it into the, you want to talk about no poise. Oh, man, sometimes I see some of that with Cousins, but Cousins was better than Schaub. But Schaub, when everything was good, could operate an offense fairly well. But when things broke down at all, he would scream with terror, like, and just throw it as far as he could. Just like, like, oh, this isn't the toughest quarterback we've ever seen.
So he threw for 343 yards, two touchdowns and an interception against the Patriots. And they lost 41-28, only it wasn't that close because it was 31-13.
I was at Senior Bowl watching that game, just like,
yeah, it was 31-13 heading into the fourth quarter. So the game was over. So he threw for a bunch of yards, but
yeah, it was.
But anytime Matt Schaub is throwing 51 times,
no, that's 30 some odd passes was the most that you in that offense that you should have been throwing, because you were based on it. You're a rushing attack, and your passing game was play action based off the rushing attack. See, I still love that, John. Whenever I watch college tape or I watch pro tape or whatever, this is why Mike Shanahan, to me, is the ultimate offensive mind. Now, he's got two Super Bowls where there's questions about how he handled Atlanta. And one of the things Michael Kelly said was, you know, he said, I kind of buy into what his logic was with, this is how we got here, so we're not going to do things differently. With that said, because he said, I understand it's hindsight now. I said, yeah, Mike, but, you know, it is also the case that at some point you got to play the clock game. You got to, at some point you have to just shorten the game, and just sometimes you have to hang on. Sometimes you have to hang on. It's no different than when you're trying not to throw up at the end of the night when you've been drinking, and you're just like, God, if I can just wait. Well, if I can just wait and hold on.
That's the Cliff Kingsbury flaw. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's all run and shoot style teams.
They'd have a big lead, and he's still flinging it
like
around.
You mean the Oilers against the Bills?
Oh, my God. Hey, I did not remember this. I'm looking over the whole season of 2012. Mm-hmm. Matt Schaub threw for 527 yards against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
527.
I didn't remember, but now that you say it, it sounds crazy familiar.
In overtime, a 43-37 win. Wow.
Oh, yeah, here in Houston, but they won. Yep. I had my buddy John Pollard was here, but they won late. It was the overtime game.
Overtime.
And they won late. I remember that.
Man, they were 10. They were 9. That made them 9-1. They went 11-1.
Yeah. No, that was Tennessee. A team where we were like, man.
Fun. Yeah, we were having fun.
Yeah, it
and
was
then
fun.
They went to New England and got slapped. They lost three of their last four.
Wait, was that the Letters jacket?
That was the Letterman jacket game.
God.
That was the Letterman. The Letterman jacket game changed the whole season.
I'm sorry. Did you just say season or did you say organization? I didn't hear you clearly.
I said.
Has it ever been the same in the organization since Letterman?
Because they went. Have you ever seen a team that went in by many as a Super Bowl favorite and won two games the next year?
No.
And that was with a healthy step when Schaub just fell apart. Just fell
that
apart.
Was a Seattle burns it, the burning of the jersey after he had that pick six by Richard Sherman at the end of the game at home against Seattle. Remember that?
Yep.
And that was when Seattle was on the come up.
But that was so Texans to be a favorite going into the year and winning two games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, Schaub played. They won the first two games, and then Baltimore beat them. Seattle with the Richard Sherman pick, Then they remember went to San Francisco and he threw two. I think it was two of them right off the bat in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Pick sixes.
Oh, San Francisco, yeah.
San Francisco. It
got to the point where I then began to almost cheer for pick sixes. Just
I know.
Said, well, we're watching history now. Might as well go all in. Once he got to five straight games, I remember thinking, that San Francisco game, the announcers just said, this is unbelievable. And we were watching Matt Schaub's I thought we were watching his career die in front of us. John, that was 2013. Do you know Matt Schaub plays football today?
He does. Well, he watches. He's got the best.
Oh, now he's got the best job.
Yeah, best job. Best job you
can. How much do you think Matt Schaub made last year?
He had to make five.
Matt Schaub, do you know Matt Schaub is 6'6", 245?
Yeah, Matt Schaub's a big dude.
Dude, he is 38 years old right now. And he played in six games, started one. He was 0 for 1. He had three touchdowns and one interception last year. Just Schaub putting up numbers. And then where I'm going to get down to his cash at the bottom. I think they have it at the bottom of Pro Football Reference. They do in Baseball Reference. Nope. I'll have to go find out where he was making. I'll go look at Spot Track. But Matt Schaub is 38 years old, and he is still playing football. And that was after he threw – how many straight games did he have a pick six?
I think it was – it six?
Was it? I think it was six. I think he set the record. Matt Schaub signed a two-year – oh, yeah. This is not a big contract. But he signed a two-year $3.78 million contract with Atlanta, including $750,000 signing bonus, $750,000 guaranteed, and an average annual salary of $1.8 million. In 2020, Schaub will earn a base salary of $2 million while carrying a cap hit of $2.3 million and a dead cap value of $375,000. So he could get cut this year, but why would you? Matt Ryan's your quarterback. Why not just stay with what you got? Doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. Lamont sent the Jacoby Jones fumble.
Lamont has been on Jacoby's ass since that day, and it has never let up. Lamont,
never.
I know
never.
You.
Well, that and the Wattcat. Lamont has that at a fingertip. Has the Wattcat at his fingertips at any second.
He does have a point. It would have been cool if J.J. had scored. We would have gone crazy. Instead, he rips the groin off the bone or whatever, and he's been hurt ever since. Oh, no.
You got to call John Clay Wolf, and we got to talk about give me the VIN. Yeah. So we will get that.
I hear it's pretty easy.
So, that Jacoby Jones was one of the worst moments. Worst.
Well, but not really. The Texans came back from that. It was a bad moment.
They came back from that, but they lost the game.
They lost the game, but I think they came back and may have even taken a lead after that.
Even still, those points you gave up were crucial.
Well,
it highly contributed to the
loss. I can come up with worse moments, like when Ed Reed went in on Wade Phillips. We need to be getting Wade Phillips on the show. I think he's in town.
Yeah, he was. Well, he used to be a regular on.
Yeah, Ed Reed just didn't want to play football real. I was real surprised. Ed Reed just.
Why does he sound
like
Bernie the Wolf now?
I listen to some old Bernie. I'm like, Bernie didn't sound as much like Ed. He became more Wade Phillips as time went on.
Yeah. I mean, if we could rank the worst moments in Texans history.
We could do that today. We could go worst moments in Texas history or best moments. Why be negative?
Well, JJ's pick six is the best moment ever.
And then Wattcat, worst ever?
It's right there.
Where he hurt his groin, although he already had a hurt groin.
Rosenkopter. Vince running into the end zone.
How come we have moments like that? What about, you're not even mentioning the Glover Quinn smacks the ball against Jacksonville and they score a touchdown on the Hail Mary game?
Oh, forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. There's been a lot of them.
That was wonderful.
Remember the Hail Mary loss
in
2006?
Yeah, the Hail Mary. Jacksonville. Yeah, I remember it well. 733 ESPN 97.5.
No, it's 2010. It was 2010 when that happened.
We got to, what about the pass, the halfback pass.
Jacksonville.
Yep.
Chris Brown.
Some of the worst moments ever, Jacksonville.
Yeah, man, you ain't lying about that. Yep. Why is there all so much memories with Jacksonville?
I got to talk right now about John Clay Wolf. I got to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. I got to talk about you getting the most for your car. I got to talk about my man, John Clay Wolf, being awesomeness. He is the best. And here's the deal, is he's going to give you the most for your car. And that's the most important thing, because the only reason you're selling your car right now, it more than likely, I mean, maybe you want to upgrade, but don't you want the most for your car? Or do you want to be a really nice guy and give it away for less? Nah. What you want is you want to make sure that you get the most for it. And it's easy to do. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. He guarantees it. If he can't beat CarMax, he is going to give you $100. If he cannot beat CarMax, and he is going to beat CarMax. So go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. You want to sell that car right now, get the most for it, GiveMeTheVIN.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 737. John and Lance, along with Nick, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Anybody's welcome.
Yeah, let's get some callers. Yeah, let's get some callers.
All week.
We need to know that you're still alive. You're in the road. You're on the roads. Well, some of you are. You're headed back. I did see there's another. I don't know how this works. Where's Channel 13? Lena Hidalgo signed another stay-at-home order.
I saw that.
Extending it? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't even know. Does that even mean
anything? The governor's opening everything up and Lena Hidalgo is shutting us in?
Stay at home except for 50% capacity at restaurants. Oh.
Is that what she said?
I don't know what it means. Because, here. What? Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo... who has been on the Raheel, John, and Dell show when that was going on, is expected to sign an order that will extend the county's stay-at-home work safe order until June 10th. Her office said the order will align with Greg Abbott's current order. On Monday, Abbott announced additional reopenings that included bars and professional sports. The decision has sparked an online debate, with some saying Hidalgo is trying to keep people safe, while others say the time has come to get on with our lives. Earlier this month, Hidalgo issued, I'm reading basically, tell Wendy that I'll give her my Venmo so she can pay me for all this ABC 13 website I'm promoting. Earlier this month, Hidalgo issued a stay-at-home order just 2 days after the statewide stay-at-home order that has since expired. In a tweet by Hidalgo, she wrote, This is no time to tempt fate. As folks settle into a new normal, please remember we don't have a cure and people are still getting sick. Keep yourself and your family safe by social distancing as best you can and avoid unnecessary contact. As best I can tell, it's basically saying, look, if you're not going to be out for a certain reason, then just go ahead and stay home, I guess. Can we go to parks? John, I'm going to ask you some questions. Let me go down a checklist real quick. Nick, you too. Nick, I'll start with you. Are we allowed to go to parks, like Memorial Park, on any given day at any given time?
Negative.
That's incorrect. We are.
Really?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. You're allowed to go to parks. You have been the whole time.
We rode to Memorial Park this weekend, and there are a lot of people.
There's plenty
at the park.
I went with my wife. We'll go there, and I went. I told you that somebody started coughing like a maniac behind me about 12 yards, and I basically got into a little speed walking mode, like, and I felt like I was being chased. This guy was going, and I said, I just went straight Drago. If he dies, he dies. I'm not messing with whatever's behind me. I'm not looking. I'm not turning. I don't need Conjuring 3. None of that stuff. So here's one for you, John. Are we allowed to go to restaurants?
Yes.
Nick, are we allowed to go to bars beginning Friday, tomorrow? At 25%
yes.
capacity?
Catch up. Yes. The answer is yes.
Are we allowed to drive around and go to the store?
Yes.
Are we allowed to drive around on the freeway? I don't really know. Are we allowed to go get pies and eat as much of the pie until we get sick? Yes, well, it's our freedoms.
I don't know. Have you? Is this something that you know personally that you can do? We got to ask you. Lance, are you allowed to eat pies until you get sick?
Yes. It's part of my personal freedoms. It's also my freedoms to order a double cheeseburger at Lankford, not realizing that they're already like half-pound burgers, and get so sick that you can't eat or move the rest of the day.
So, okay, let me ask you guys this.
Freedom.
Since 50% of Americans are afraid that they're not going to lose the weight that they've gained during the pandemic, what is the percentage here on the show?
Oh, I'll just juice.
So you will lose that weight?
Yeah, if I want to.
I think I will, too. I don't think I have a problem.
You've already, but Nick, you look like you lost weight, like, over the last 6 months or whatever.
I have.
Yeah. Like, a decent amount.
Yeah. I probably lost maybe 7-10 pounds, something like that.
So you've added some during quarantine?
I did and lost. I went up and down during quarantine.
You did?
At first, I couldn't stop shopping because of the panic, you know? And I just kept cooking everything that I had in the pantry. And so I gained a little bit at first. But then I settled down, you know.
Well, you were eating as though we were going just into hibernation mode?
Well, yeah, just in case.
I need to stock up.
You need to live off your fat.
I had so much pasta. I have an unnecessary amount of pasta.
Dude, there was a huge run on pasta at
one point.
Oh, my
God. It was first. Okay, so I was thinking about this. Okay, what are the things from this pandemic? First, it was toilet paper, right?
Right. Yeah.
Then it was Tiger King.
That was the first scene. It was like, what is happening with toilet paper?
Toilet paper. And pasta was right there because pasta. I remember going, and I was like, what the bleep?
Well, hand sanitizer and bleach and anything like that was right there with toilet
disinfectant
paper.
Gone. And paper towels are still kind of
paper
like.
Paper towels, yeah. But pasta was the, I was like, I guess.
I was shocked.
I guess pasta's a thing too.
Okay, then it was Tiger King.
That's Tiger King.
Tiger King came along.
And then eating a pie in a day.
No.
Did y'all
that was
a thing.
That was you.
Did y'all not eat? Most people, I think, ate pies in a day.
Didn't eat a pie a day. Then it was The Last Dance took over for that.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Then it was John playing online poker.
Well, online poker and golf have been, I think, staples for everybody.
Your life has stayed the same in that regard.
Online poker and golf have been staples.
Yeah, Last Dance documentary.
Right. And
what else, Nick? What else
the dude with the long that shows up everywhere.
Well, Fauci has become a face of the pandemic.
I'm talking about the guy sitting on the end of the bed with his thing hanging.
Wood. Yeah, his name is Wood. He's
Wood.
Dead. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
but he
I don't know if his name is Wood.
Well,
but he
he's
became
a symbol for this whole
he
thing.
He was a symbol of the pandemic. I've seen him as a helicopter.
Yep,
I've seen him.
Him
where the girls are doing the – have you seen the water skiing one?
No.
Where they're hanging on to that? Yep. I've seen him with a mask on. Saw him at Tua's draft party.
Yep, he was at Tua's. Yep. He was at Tua's house.
That guy is everywhere.
Wood is
dead.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
Nick, where'd you see Wood?
I saw him everywhere. I don't know. I didn't see him anywhere.
Are you on a text string where people would send that? I have one where if a message comes through, it's 100% chance that there's
it's
a
Wood.
New meme.
It's
finally
Wood.
Dying out like the coronavirus is maybe the heat. Maybe the heat's slowing it down.
You
maybe
think
we
the heat
curb. Well,
death hasn't even slowed that down.
I feel like the Wood meme, all the different things, is a lot like coronavirus in terms of we had to somehow find a way to flatten the curve. And it took a long time. This is like day 7 since I've seen a new meme. Since a new meme was reported of that guy sitting at the bed with that thing happening.
Yeah, yeah. 713-780-3776.
Literally.
If you've got any thoughts on any
not on
Wood,
that though.
If you guys want to think about Wood, give us a call.
Listen, if you haven't sent your memes, send them to at John Granato. See if there's new memes that you think
there's
he hasn't seen.
No memes to send to John Granato. Thank you. Good night. 7:45.
ESPN 97.5. At CTW, we get that wireless printing can leave your network vulnerable.
That's why I never take my eyes off our printers. I haven't blinked all day.
That's gotta itch.
No, it's more of a burning sensation.
Well, CTW would orchestrate a solution featuring HP LaserJet Enterprise printers to help you protect your network with reliable automated print security.
Can I blink again?
You sure can. IT orchestration by CTW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/HP Print Security.
It's time to get to the yard. It's time to get outside and make it amazing. To get to the grass in the sunny afternoons. It's the season to get your backyard ready for action. To get the lawn lush and green and get rid of those pesky patches. It's easy to make your lawn better than ever with Scotts. Because even though this year may feel different, the best things never change. So let's get to it. This is your season. Time to enjoy it. Scotts, get to the yard.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance along with Nick at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
Okay, I'm sending something to both of you. You both need to see this so that we can talk about this on the air. You need to get through all the pictures. You need to get through the story. We don't need to comment until we're ready to comment, but this needs to be talked about.
Okay.
Okay?
Did you see the lightning storm?
No, what?
What Jason sent it.
Hold on, I'll check.
It's pretty funny. It's wood. It's a light. Oh. It's lightning, and it turns into wood.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah, I've seen that one. That was the last one I received, is the storm cloud. When it lights up, the storm cloud, you're like, oh, not him again. He's a cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a cloud. So, Sonny's on the line. Let's get Sonny in here. What do you say, Sonny?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on, Sonny?
What's up, Sonny?
Hey, not much. Hey, I had to get a coconut cream pie slice since Lance was talking it up so much, and it was really good. So, good call on that one, Lance.
Oh, yeah. What, is that your first time you've had coconut cream pie?
Yeah, I mean, I always get chocolate or... Yeah, I always usually get something chocolate, so I saw it. There's a shop by our house, and so I had to pick it up, and yeah, it was really good. I'll have to send you a picture, and you can rate it for me.
Yeah, that's at Nobie's. That is right around the corner. There's a restaurant called Nobie's has this ridiculous, like, Oreo crust coconut cream pie. Every once in a while, you got to check. Their pies are just ridiculous. Ridiculous. So just giving you, but I'll also stop at House of Pies and just knock out a pie. But all of us did that during the pandemic. So it's not like me. Everyone was doing that.
No, everybody. Yeah. I'm not a big pie guy like you are.
I am
go
not.
Ahead, Sonny.
Yeah, so I had a question for John. I just wanted to see how scared he was since the XFL is coming back, but PJ Walker is gone. And, you know, Oliver Luck, too, with all the Houston home cooking that he was giving y'all. How worried are you, John, that y'all are going to be in trouble without a quarterback?
I'm not in – oh, really? Connor Cook, ex-NFL quarterback? Thank you. Good night. Okay, as opposed to your guy that just throws picks all the time. He's a renegade. He's a renegade, Sonny. All right, Sonny.
Are you guys fighting about defunct football?
Okay, well – it's not defunct. Oh, I don't know if you saw Vince, my main guy, is bringing the league back. He's buying it from bankruptcy because he's such a good guy. He's going to buy it out of bankruptcy and pay people like pennies on the dollar that he owed before and bring it back. And it's going to be a solid, solid league that everybody is going to love. And you, my friend, are going to be stuck with a second-rate league called the NFL while we – Are loving our lives.
No
with the XFL.
Doubt that he's going to be like, we're not going to have 25% capacity. We're not going to have 50% capacity. 100% capacity XFL. And mm-hmm. I was like, I guess we're going 100% capacity.
Yeah. Well, by the spring, you don't think that we'll be back to 100% capacity?
No.
Who's the smart businessman?
I don't believe that we will be back to 100% capacity. I hope so. Did you see what Ohio State said?
Yeah. No.
This lets you know that, A, it's going to be different from state to state, but, B, it is also going to be this also lets you know that teams are reckoning with the and universities are reckoning with the idea that they can just play football with no fans. That's a ton of money where the fans are. That's a ton of money. Mm-hmm. And their athletic director, Gene Smith, said Wednesday his athletic department has run several social distancing models to consider having fans in the stands at games this fall at Ohio Stadium with a normal capacity of more than 100,000.
Wow.
Would hold a crowd closer to their stadium with the normal capacity of 100,000 would hold a crowd closer to 20 to 22,000 fans and up to 40 to 50 if guidelines are relaxed. We play with a little bit as a framework to start as we move forward and think about what we'd ultimately be allowed to do, Smith told reporters. We're fortunate with 100,000 seats in the stadium, so we could implement the current CDC guidelines. With seating capacity of 102,000, Ohio State's the fourth largest on campus. I do think that it makes... Okay, so let's get this out there. We live in a spread out city. We are lucky in that way. Mm-hmm. I've got friends in New York, and they just said coronavirus. You know, you've either had it, or you know people who have had it, or you know you're going to get it because you all live on top of each other. In the favelas of Brazil, did you see that they had 20,000 new cases yesterday? They live on top of each other. It's mm-hmm. famous. The favelas are so packed with people. This just in, this highly contagious disease spreads easily when there's jammed up people right next to each other. Well, we benefit from that, obviously. If you have a 100,000-seat football stadium, I don't think it's crazy to think you could get 25,000 people in there. Now, it's going to take a lot of work to figure out how you do the seating to make sure everyone's on board. And, John, how you get them in terms of waves of people coming in. But I don't think it's unrealistic to think that you could have 25% capacity at all sporting events. I really don't think that's unrealistic. It's certainly not for our state.
No. I mean, listen, you're sitting by people at a restaurant. I mean, if you're 6 feet apart, then if you're sick, stay home. If somebody's coughing around you, get away. If they're not, I know that it's, you know, there's asymptomatic. I get it. But stay apart from people. Don't wash your hands plenty. Go enjoy the game. Eat and drink but just do it away from everybody else that's not with you in your immediate group. That's all. And you can do that with 25% capacity. You can do. We can get this done. We can do this. Hey, the NCAA said, come on back, boys, June 1st. Everybody come on back.
Wait, did the NCAA say that?
Yeah, the NCAA voted.
But the Pac-12 said, so the Pac-12 is still going to be a no?
The NCAA said, listen, you guys can come back. Get on back. I think it's June 1st.
Voluntary activities starting June 1st, yeah.
Yeah.
Because college football is going to be hurt the most by this. You know, the fans, I feel like, I know fan situation would hurt college football the worst. You know, like I remember the first time I went to my first college football game like 4 or 5 years ago, honestly. It was A&M in Alabama. And just seeing
dude, you picked that.
Yeah. It was so cool. And A&M, despite getting their butts kicked, like all the fans were really cool. It was the first time I had like deep fried peanut butter jelly sandwich. Like
that's when you know you made it.
I was like, this is so cool. So I feel like college football, I mean, They're gonna be hurt the most. I mean, NBA, NFL, you know, it's gonna suck without fans, but college football, that's really gonna suck.
It's part of the whole atmosphere. I mean, the atmosphere is can you imagine, John, if LSU fans had been robbed of the atmosphere of last year?
Oh my gosh. It would have been awful.
That fan base.
It would be awful. And who's ever going to be? Look, we talked about it yesterday. If the NBA champion, no parade. There's not going to be any, you know, giant gathering in the park. There's no, like, the Bulls celebration. There's not going to be – somebody tweeted out, parades are a thing of the past, bro. And you know what? You're right.
Well, we'll see. It is a thing of the past for the very near future, but we'll see how this phase one testing of the vaccines has gone well so far. That's great. There's three phases. So, but you know what? If you think of it that way, like, okay, 2020 and maybe even parts of 2021, maybe even all of 2021 could get severely, we could be severely limited. The question is, do we hang on financially is going to be the big question. And do we hang on as a people, as a species with how we treat each other? But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, John, you would think that we could overcome some inconveniences even for a year and a half of sports.
Right. No, right. It's this year is going. I mean, I feel bad. You know, Frankie wasn't able to party nearly
what
she would have in her senior spring, you know, spring senior season.
She did make it to Florida for spring break, so that was good.
She's going back this weekend. And she didn't get to walk. You know, all the stuff that you get to do.
Wait. This is her graduation year?
Yeah, she graduated.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
Yeah. No, and no proms, no... You know, formals for sororities, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. High school seniors, yeah.
These kids got ripped off. They did. So it's a shame for all of them. All the high schools that didn't get their proms and their, it just sucks. But you know what? And hopefully vaccine and we get back to normal. And we have a parade when the Texans win the Super Bowl. That's right. 759 ESPN 97.5 talking about Jeff Aronoff. You listen, it's a party when Jeff Aronoff fixes you up, and listen, he can make it big. And that's all he does is big stuff. It's got to be big. It's got to be a big job. It can't be, I have a brick out on my steps. No, don't call Jeff Aronoff. Absolute marble and granite for that. Well, if you want to put in an entire patio, now there's something he'll do. If you want to put it in and make it really, really nice. I mean, dude, this is what he does every single day. He's got access to the marble and granite, and he can help you select it. So, and he's seen it all. He's done it all. All the vanities, all the countertops. He's done this now for years, and I don't know how long. I know Jeff and him doing this and his business. And listen, he does entire hotels. He does in ballrooms. He does... It doesn't matter if you're looking for a great way to upgrade or you're building now and you need Jeff. You need Jeff to help you. And listen, and again, you don't need an architect when you got Jeff because he can design the thing for you. He designed our outdoor kitchen for us, and he will do that for you as well. So all you got to do is give him a call, let him start, let him come to your place, and let him give you the lowdown on what it's going to take. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.